Welcome to the Love the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 through the Fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is a Super Bowl winner. He is also the pre and post game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network and the co-host of the G-Bag Nation 2 to 7 p.m. Friday on 105 through the Fan in Dallas. And Brian, I just want to kick things off here, start things off by saying from the bottom of my heart, I forgive you. I forgive you for your Trey Lance takes, and I want to let you know I've moved past it.
Yeah, I'm glad you've moved past it, and I forgive you too, Bobby. You should never have takes about players like you do, but you know it's amazing that they give you these platforms.
It's wild.
It just kind of shows you that anybody can grab a mic and talk about crap they don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Anybody can do it, guys. You can walk in just like I did and talk about Trey Lance. Of course, you guys would have heard, for those of you that subscribe, you would have heard our post-game interaction on the Cowboys Radio Network, where the Cowboys won 27-12. Yeah. So we're going to have takeaways from that. But I know we've also gotten a lot of questions about our disagreement on Trey Lance, which is something that we've gotten into on the Fan and stuff like that, which I think I speak for Brian. I don't want to presume to. But I know I wasn't bugged by it. It was a back and forth. Brian, ultimately, what I think this comes down to is I thought Trey Lance was better on Saturday night. And I think that there were things that you can look at and say, oh, that was better, this was better, this was better. To me, I guess I looked at it and I said that I don't think that there's a difference between being better or you know, perform better and like actually being better. I still think that's a question. It wasn't enough that had gone on there. You know, he didn't blow it out of the water or fix some of the accuracy stuff that made me feel like this answers questions that I have about him. The same sort of issues that I have, I think, still exist. Now, if he stacks up these performances in the next week and you start hearing more positive stuff coming out of practices consistently, then you've got something. But to me, it's just, it's a nice thing to note. And you give him his flowers for saying he did a good job the other night. But I don't know that we can glean anything permanent from it yet.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think he's come a long way from what we've seen for the first days of training camp, where he didn't look like an NFL quarterback. And that was something that you and I have talked about before. Yeah. You know, you made the statement. And, you know, I didn't really like what Trey Lance did in the red zone against the Rams. It was a vastly improved effort for him with not only the completions, his ability to see what was going on, the touch pass he made for a touchdown. I kind of feel like, though, when you look at him play, and I was talking about the touchdown pass to Flournoy, it's a pass he missed the week before. And to me, are there things that Trey Lance absolutely needs to get better at? Yes. I think the thing that just got me twisted was I didn't feel like that you were giving him enough credit for his improvement. And that to me, where I think it's one thing that it's our job to be critical of these guys. It's also our job to be fair.
Sure.
And maybe this is where I got it wrong with you, is I always found like on these national shows that they just go off. You got guys like the Shady McCoys and people like that. And they say something and they don't ever want to back off from that. And where I was wrong was putting you in the same category of Shady McCoy. Unfortunately, you know, that, well, why can't you say anything, you know, why can't you say anything good about this player? But when he plays poorly, you know, we have to be the first to say, you know, there have been practices where he's missed and he hasn't seen guys. In the Rams game, if he makes three different throws, maybe we think about him as a different quarterback.
Right.
But I to my fault, I put you in the category of the national media guy that will never say, you know, even though they had a hot take, they won't acknowledge, you know, and you acknowledged, You're saying like he got better. And I, at, you know, at midnight or whenever we're doing our show, I took that as like, well, damn, Bobby, give him some credit.
Sure.
I mean, and that's where, you know, that's where, to me, when you just basically say, it's not changing my mind. I'm like, okay, that's fair. Once I sat back and looked at it, that's fair. But I just immediately thought, all those guys and gals that hot take this thing.
Yeah.
And they hot take it, and they keep hot taking it and hot taking it and hot taking it. When you can say, you know what, I think this guy is better than what I thought. This guy, this is where I maybe miss this guy. You know, there's Bo Nix. There's things about Bo Nix, the quarterback at Denver, that a lot of NFL scouts, a lot of player personnel guys, a lot of the scout media, mm-hmm. you know, they were wrong. And it looks like they were wrong in some ways about Bo Nix. You know, and people are like, well, God, give Sean Payton credit. Yeah, I'm going to give Dan Lanning and those guys at Oregon credit, because that guy at Auburn didn't look like an NFL quarterback.
No.
You know, and they've done things to, but him coming out of the draft, second, third round grade, you know, that doesn't look accurate right now. Now, we'll see how the season plays out. We'll see how it plays. But I think that we have to be willing to be able to stand in there and say, you know what? This guy got better today, or this guy got worse today. And I took it as a hot take that was, come on, man, you got to give the guy a little credit. And you know, I took it the wrong way.
Yeah, no, and I probably didn't communicate effectively enough.
I read the tweet the wrong way. Instead of just asking you, like, listen, you really believe that Trey Lance can't play quarterback in this league now?
Well, and it's something where I think that when I step back and say, like, yeah, he played better, I need to see more before I'm going to say I feel like he's made progress, because I need to see consistency, because consistency has been his issue. I didn't communicate that as clearly or as succinctly that night, because also it's, you're coming right out of there, and it's just, we haven't even had time to like process everything necessarily yet. And it's also I honestly thought
you were talking about the running backs.
I mean, I was in the back end of the tweet where I'd said, because I used the running backs as an example. I said, Deuce Vaughn looking better tonight, Royce Freeman looking better tonight, doesn't make me say that the running back room is fixed.
Yeah.
But similarly,
that point I would agree with you.
So similarly, I was trying to say Trey Lance looking better tonight doesn't tell me Trey Lance is fixed, or the issues that I have with Trey Lance are fixed. And that's kind of where it came down. But enough
Would you be surprised, though, if we get to the final 53 and Trey Lance is the backup quarterback, is quarterback number two?
Not necessarily. I do think it's Cooper Rush right now. I would say if you're going to tell me Dak is going to be out for a game, I want Cooper Rush starting. If you're telling me Dak is out for the season, I think I want Trey Lance starting.
Because you want to see if Trey Lance just could actually
put it all out there. Let him see what he can do. I know what Cooper Rush is, and I know Cooper Rush can also win me a game and effectively manage a game. Mm-hmm. I don't know that yet about Trey Lance, but I don't know much about Trey Lance for sure in game situations. So let me see it. Bring it out there. And I so I think it just it kind of depends. But look, he's somebody who, I'll tell you, I'd asked Nick Eatman this. I said, do you think we learned more about Trey Lance on the football field in this game, or more about Trey Lance between the ears? Because I think that's what I learned more about Trey Lance is, all right, a lot of criticism, a lot of chatter, a lot of everything else. He didn't let it crush him going into this game. There was a lot of talk about him. And so that's something definitively you can see. Okay, here's the situation. Here's a response to it. Here's how he performed. So I think that we can definitively take that away, that it says he you know, has mental toughness, or that's a marker of mental toughness. Mm-hmm. Looking at the rest of this game, Brian, and what went on, I don't know about for you. The big headline for me, I think, was the movement they got in the run game early against, you know, Raiders starters, specifically Bass and Beebe. I think Beebe outperformed Brock Hoffman in this game. But that was kind of my large takeaway, was movement in the run game, like in the run blocking against starters. and then specifically Beebe all around performing better than I thought Hoffman did.
Better combination blocks, better blocking from the tight ends. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Schoonmaker did a decent job on one rep on Crosby.
Schoonmaker, when you look at Schoonmaker, there were a couple of times where Schoonmaker, the combo blocks, he, Guyton, they worked well together. There was a couple of times where Stevens was able to get his guy in the backside. Just, you know, really, really good athlete when he stays on his feet and stays connected. Yeah, a couple of misses. Negative play. They try to toss. Stevens got beat badly at the point of attack. Schoonmaker, he had a problem with they tried to run the RPO into space, and you've got Trey Lance trailing behind him, which is kind of a staple play. We've seen it before where it used to be Dalton Schultz running ahead of Dak Prescott and kind of being the lead blocker. Mm-hmm. And Schoonmaker missed that block. He, you know, he missed in space there. But I felt overall the guards, the center, the tackles, and tip of the cap to Matt Wiletzko, because we don't talk about him very much. Played the whole game, you know, mm-hmm. And so gave up no sacks, no pressures, according to Next Gen Stats. If you look at the metrics that he for his game. So
yeah, I will just really quickly on Wiletzko say, didn't give up any sacks. The snaps against Crosby were rough at times.
It was really rough. It was really rough. But you know what? He didn't get discouraged. He knew that was going to be. He knew he was outgunned there. There's
the run stuff. The run stuff was more. Wiletzko's run stuff was more. I guess more encouraging to me than somewhat I saw in the pass protection.
Sure.
It's just, and I know people it's Crosby across from. If he's going to be on this roster and he's going to have to step in, he might have to stand across from a Max Crosby, and that's something where you need to see that.
If that's the case, then you better damn well game plan, or you're going to have the Chaz Green game again. If that's you know that, and we saw that the very first time that Terrence Steele started a game against the Chargers, and Bosa was standing over across, Joey Bosa was standing over there, and we saw spacing, we saw tight ends, we saw a chip. We saw one-on-one. We saw a lot of things. So they would clearly game plan if Wiletzko had to play over there. But I just wanted to give him a tip of the cap.
Sure.
But the running game stuff, the backs were more, you know, it's the first time, Bobby, that we've had the backs really healthy all camp. You know, I've been, you know, today I was out here watching mock game, and unfortunately there's a couple of linebackers standing over there. You know, Overshown standing over there, and, you know, Clark standing over there. You know, that kind of sucks. But this was the first time that we've had all the backs that were able and available for the game. And I was happy that Mike McCarthy's game plan showed, like, okay, how about a little commitment to trying to run the football? And they had some success. Freeman's success was good. Deuce Vaughn's success was good. Deuce Vaughn looks different running the football because someone has gotten to his head that when you run, don't dance. Run. Go forward as fast as you can. If it gets 3 yards, if it gets 4 yards, if it gets 2 yards, don't get trapped for a no gain. Don't get trapped behind the line of scrimmage. Don't look to bounce everything. If they hand you the ball, go downhill as fast as you can. And if you're fortunate enough to get into the second level, then you know, then you could do your dancing and moving and stuff like that. But he is a different looking back with the speed and the quickness that he shows. But he was a downhill player in that game. And you got to give him high marks for that.
Really quickly, before we go on to some 53-man roster stuff, the name that came out of this one, the guy who flashed a bunch, Keeman Hall. Watching back the tape, does he look like a legit player to you? The North Texas grad has hung around some practice squads for a couple years and played really well in this game.
Played a lot of snaps. Played a lot of coverage snaps, was in the slot primarily, had really one bad play where he had a missed tackle in space. Other than that, he was pretty solid in his coverage. The guy that the metrics said played better was Mukwamu. If you look at the numbers with the number of snaps, there was 4 targets, no catches, where Hall had some catches against him, but that's okay. You know, him, Booth, those guys, they played, you know, those him and Booth, Hall and Booth played a lot of snaps in that game. And I don't know how many corners they're going to keep, Robert. I really don't. They might try and keep five corners, five safeties. They might try and keep, you know, it might be, depending on what they do with McQuamu, you know, it might be just, it might be, okay, we can keep six and a six and a four. And the fact that, Izzy can play both. But I think this, I think the safety position doesn't need the swing guy. What they need is they need the guy that can play the slot the best and potentially play outside if something were to happen, say, with Carson. We haven't seen Carson play much inside at all, if at all. I haven't seen him. Hopefully he'll get back soon enough here with the wisdom teeth situation that he was dealing with. But, yeah, I think it was a nice day for Hall, just for the fact that he plays a lot of snaps in practice. He plays in the nickel, and you got to kind of figure out, you know, where does he really fit? Him, McQuamu, Booth. I think maybe two guys battling, or three guys battling for two spots, or maybe three guys battling for one spot, depending on how things go.
Let's talk about that. You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.